If there's one positive thing to emerge from the response to the coronavirus pandemic, it's the way Aboriginal health workers, community broadcasters, and others have stepped up to deliver preventative health messaging. Here's just some of that messaging that's getting out on social media platforms, on web TV, and via community radio and TV networks.
Panya wanga jigeja biga panya COVID-19 coronavirus panya baru nya lagori kulini mula cakul jonanya.
Hello, I'm Barbara Shaw. We have to start changing to save our lives. We know how important funerals are and sorry camp are to our communities. When too many people get together for a funeral, it's easier for COVID-19 to spread faster through our communities. Everyone going to a funeral is putting their loved ones at risk of the virus.
Nyuranidi banyaja coronavirus para rainer ni ngura kujub bangka. Kanya ngaja wanga ni banya ngura ngani nyaku.
Look at the information. Oh, para Aboriginal communities. Odo panila kanga ngar kya Northern Territory government. Tuka ba no yunaga baje kuya kyo naipun coronavirus. Lamu kyo naipun COVID-19.
When in the coronavirus is sickness. Not a name blame, COVID-19.
Hey mob, listen up, I got some important information for you about coronavirus. If you're worried and have the symptoms of coronavirus, call your local AMS or your local GP. Most importantly, stay home until you speak to your doctor. This is going to have a big impact on our community. So wash your hands and don't share your smokes.
Just some of the organisations who've got on board for this health messaging are the Central Land Council, the NPY Women's Council, PY Media in the APY lands, SecureNT, which is an office of the Northern Territory Government, the Noongar Language Centre, and the North Coast Primary Health Network in New South Wales. I'm sure there are many others. But up in northeast Arnhem Land, there's now a podcast series on the coronavirus in Yolngu-Mata. Now, that's the language of communities like Yirrkala, Galawinku, and Nhulunbuy. We know that the risk factors for the virus to spread unchecked in our communities are astronomically high. You've got overcrowding, you've got multi-generational households, limited or no access to healthcare, poor sanitation and community infrastructure, and the profound burden of chronic disease, coupled with high smoking rates. It's a perfect storm in terms of the risk factors. Well, Richard Trudgeon's been working in remote communities in Arnhem Land for about 50 years, and he's the author of Why Warriors Lay Down and Die. He's a community educator based in Nhulunbuy, and I'm speaking to him from his home studio, where he's producing those coronavirus podcasts in Yolngu-Mata, with respected leaders such as Jinini Gondara and Nikanu Yunipingu, among other community members. And what's coming out is that Yolngu want to know where this virus came from, its deep foundational story. They want to know how it behaves and if it's a lifelong sickness, if it's a chronic illness, or if it will pass.
Yo, good morning, Waku.
Yo, good morning, go.
Katra, makmen makale telakramadao, balanya. Yuta garata mak to rally marichin nakana coronavirus corona yuta reading a rally marichin China or
Yo tuale mukana prungama ngama la proga biurung imala tuale yuta garata tuale nawe nakun naika rally mariki.
I've been talking about the need for what we call health literacy, in other words, teaching people basic fundamental information around health issues for many years, since the 70s really, because we started to see the beginning then of a chronic disease tsunami coming through Arnhem Land. And I was doing a lot of interviews between the people and medicos as a community worker back then, and doing community education. And I could see that the people were missing basic knowledge. At one stage of my time here, which is over 40 years now, heading towards 50, we actually had a team of people who were going out and teaching germ theory and so on. But unfortunately, that team was pulled down during the intervention, believe it or not, where many things went back throughout that time. So as soon as I heard of the coronavirus, I just knew we had to go into top gear if we were going to be able to save a number of people. And many of the people that I'm looking at helping are close colleagues and friends of mine that actually do research and co-production together with us on our main platform we've got now, which is jumbhmaram.com, which deals with a whole lot of subjects, but the health area is one that I'm very familiar with.
Richard, what have been some of the questions that Yongwu are asking about this virus? What are the big questions that they're asking?
The big questions, Daniel, Yongwu, that's Yongwu, the Aboriginal people of Northeast Arnhem Land, always ask three main questions about any disease or sickness. They usually ask what is its characteristics, size, shape, colour, all those sort of thing. So if it's a bacterium or a virus, what is it? And then what is its what we call gakkal, which is its which is how it goes about breeding, how it goes about causing disease in the body, and so forth. And then it's wanga. Where does it live? Where does it come from? Where's the main place it comes from? So I'm not surprised when people start asking those questions. The difficulty is that many of the messages that have been put out at the moment are a bit like messages at chapter 10 in understanding disease and sickness. And so people want to go right back there to chapter 1. What is this thing? Where does it come from? Who created it? Why? And all those sort of questions. And our method of education is to answer all those questions, because until you answer all those questions, you don't get up to chapter 10. And then people can actually understand the short scripted messages that come out from mainstream Australia. I'll give you a quick example. One of the messages that the government's putting out at the moment, that you won't catch this disease through the wind, right? And that's a false message, but unfortunately in Arnhem Land, the word wind is used for both wind and air. So the message that's being put out at the moment is people are hearing that you won't catch this thing from things floating in the air. Well, in actual fact, you will. And the message is not being qualified. So that's why I'm saying we go back to chapter 1 or 2, we work through it up to there, and we get up to that stuff, and then all of a sudden the messaging that comes out from government will start to make some sense.
Well, you know, there's a lot of misinformation and a lack of clarity across the board, but I can only imagine how these kind of messages that are coming from Canberra are being perceived. And I can absolutely see the need for this series of stories, these podcasts. Now, yeah. You've done it in collaboration with Nicanor Yunupingu.
Yeah.
So
Maricha Damaranji and also Diane Gundara, the three researchers, and Jinini Gundara, Reverend Dr. Jinini Gundara is also another one of our co-producers, researchers. Yeah.
And you're in Nhulunbuy. Can you give me a sense of what the mood is about this virus?
There's a number of different responses, and the responses are quite wide. Guys in our team, those guys, they're really concerned because they actually got an image of what a virus is, and they can see that it could just impact their whole community. And instead of being a death rate that's about four times national average, which is the normal death rate in Northeast Arnhem Land, we could go to many times more on that. Now, that's like a war zone death rate. So people are used to a war zone death rate in modern Australia. I've been trying to point that out for years, that we need to do something about it. But they're seeing quite, for instance, Diane is completely isolating herself now. So that's one response that's coming from a few people who have got access to information. The other response is that it's just a white fella thing We had the SARS scare before, nothing came of that. But people, and some people are saying, you know, I'm washing my hands in the morning, right? So they're seeing it as a bit like the HIV AIDS thing when people just raced out, handing out condoms and all that. People put them on brooms, hung them around their necks. They saw it as some sort of religious icon type activity. Because if you believe that sickness and disease comes from sorcery or spirits or sick country, that's what you believe. And if you don't move people past that, then they're not going to be able to deal with the modern world where we have things like viruses getting off planes and boats now. So some of those people who we would say are healthy literate, they can't understand the subject and cause and effect around health and disease and sickness and medication that might make them better again. They haven't got any knowledge around that. Those people are just saying, oh, it's a bit of a joke. It'll go away. It won't touch us. We'll just pray and hopefully it won't come our way. So those people need a bit of a wake-up call. And there's everyone in between. A lot of people are treating it as a joke, absolute joke. They're calling it wakona. It's just a joke.
That's deeply concerning. In one way, though, the remoteness of many communities in Arnhem Land, although the virus can certainly travel on planes, and there, as far as I understand, planes are still going into Arnhem Land?
Yeah.
Flying into Nhulunbuy?
They've locked us down fairly well now. And as you say, we're suggesting there that that could be one of our saving grace. But the problem we're going to face, Daniel, is if people don't know what a virus is and don't know how it could impact them, there's a number of issues there. It could impact them severely. Then we're going to have law and order issues, you know, because there's rules being put out now that if a body returns, then it'll only be a short ceremony, short funeral, and only 10 people attend that funeral. Well, some people are already saying there's no way I'm going to take any notice of that. So there's going to be conflict between them and the police. And I'm saying it's unnecessary. If we do the right job, 2020 we're at now, we're not back with Captain Phillip and diseases coming off the boats there in Sydney originally. We're not back there. We're actually at 2020 now. And we have platforms. We in Why Warriors Proprietary Limited, my company here, we've developed platforms over the last couple of years to get things out to people. We have platforms like Yunga Radio and so on. All we need is a bit of support and let's get on with it and get out as much information as possible. What people are saying is we want the Duri Dawal. Now, the Duri Dawal is the primary foundational information. We don't just want the top story. We want to be treated like intellectual people and really know this animal. It's really not a live animal, but it operates a bit like an animal. Viruses are not alive. They're not an animal. But this little thing, we know all the other living things in our environment. It's how they breed, where they go, how they can be dangerous to us or beneficial and so on. We know all that information. We expect a lot more information about the COVID-19 and then what most mainstream Australians do. Yunga want more information rather than less. But the other big problem we're facing, we're hearing quite clearly that people who are smokers and with chronic disease, and we have massive chronic disease across the Yunga lands, but people who are chronic disease and smokers, well, they're in for it with this one because it seems as though the rate of the death rate with people who are smokers and chronic diseases is quite high out of the China experience. So we got to get up to there and we're going flat day and night now trying to produce. We've just on to our second series of podcasts. We've done the first four, we're done second four now. And the way we'll move forward then is move according to our researchers' questions coming from the ground. So we answer their questions. We hope we've got a window. I hope we've got 2 months. I hope I've got 2 months to get up to chapter 10. But before we get there, people will already be picking up on it and saying, hey, we need to really deal with this and we need to get leadership together. We have so disempowered these communities since the intervention that the leadership virtually doesn't exist in these communities now since 2007. And we hope this issue will help leadership come together and go, come on, let's get organised around this. And rather than just being told from the top, Darwin or Canberra, what to do, we'll start to innovate solutions ourselves to help protect our people. That's our hope, and that's what we're heading for.
Richard Trudgeon speaking from Nhulunbuy. He's the co-founder of Why Warriors, and it's an organisation that's committed to building capacity and partnerships that drive Yolngu-led solutions to the economic, health and governance challenges they face. And the podcasts are online. They're being circulated on social media. There's also a link on our website. Just find Away in the program menu at abc.net.au/rn.